Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're all with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday we started off the week shaking the Monday morning blues with our relationship conversation. And oh, what a conversation to be had as we continued with some of the things you need to seriously think about when dating older. Yes, you know, some of us have this this desire to date older, and there were certain things that we talked about that we continued with from last week, and we started off with your communication styles might be different. Yes, you know, it's you know, when you're dating older, you know, sometimes things become outdated, yes, even communication styles. And, you know, it's a lot to be said for how, you know, we kind of fall into our generation of communication styles. You know, some people are texters. You know, that's the new thing. That's the newer thing to do. And it's not the best thing to really do, but it's the newer thing to do. And, you know, if you're coming from someone who's from an older generation, they may not be feeling this, this texting thing, or you're texting too much. You know, maybe they could do the texting, but this generation here, they are definitely, definitely into the texting. And, you know, that might be a hard pill to swallow when a person is just accustomed to just simply talking, okay? Well, also talked about, there might be a slight cultural gap in the relationship. And our pastor, Charlene, talked about, you know, hey, you know, you might be into the Temptations or the Shirelles, and I might be into Young Jeezy and Snoop, and boy, oh boy, oh boy, if that is the case, can you imagine the gap and cultural gap, you know, the way you wear your clothes or the way you style your hair. You know, certain things attract you to people, but then when we start getting a little more serious, woo, yeah, that stuff might be a little hard to swallow. So, you know, that's another thing we talked about, dating older. And we also talked about financial responsibilities. May not quite jive, you know, if you got kids and grandkids, or even if you have, you know, children who are older and, you know, you see them struggling, you know, one parent may feel, hey, you know, I don't want to see my child struggle. I don't care if they're older. I want to help them out. And if you've got someone, you know, that you're dating or you're married to and they may not be all up to that, you know, saving kids when they're older. So there's a lot of things that you have to think about when you consider that dating older. You know, so listen, everything is not bad, but everything may not be good either. Okay? All right now. So, we could not finish off Monday perfectly if we did not get our switch tip from Shantice. Do not react. Don't react. You know, reaction a lot of times has a negative connotation to it. And, you know, a lot of times we're shooting from the hip when we react. And, you know, as she talked about yesterday, and I kind of gave my closing yesterday on just reacting. You know, as God matures you, as you study more, as you read his word more, as you allow the relationship between you and God to become closer, you know, your reaction ain't the same. And if it's not the same, even the reaction time, you know, may not be the same. Now, if your reaction time is not the same or your response time is not the same, then that can help as well. Because a lot of times, you know, when you react, that's like immediate. But if you're responding and you give it a couple of minutes between the time when someone either says something or does something, you know, then, you know, that makes the difference because you have an opportunity to just kind of hold on to what it is that you need to say. And sometimes you'll say, man, oh, man, I'm so glad I did not respond or react immediately. I thought about it, and it makes the difference. It makes a big difference. And, you know, in recent events, you know, I'm so happy that, you know, I've learned, you know, to think differently. And she mentioned the same thing. You know, once you reaction doesn't give a whole lot of time for thinking. And, you know, don't react. Don't react. Don't react. Don't react. Don't react. You know, give it to God. Give it to God. And I know a lot of times, you know, our response time doesn't allow us to give it to God. But sometimes when you think about it, yeah, you did have some time to give it to God. You did have some time to give it to God, and you just opted not to. Have you ever gotten to the point where you like, you know what, I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say this anyway. Yeah. Well, you know, prayerfully, we're moving further and further and further away from that. So, good switch tip. Good switch tip. And I would love to know how many people really, really, really had an opportunity to think about that. Yeah. Well, today is Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day. And, oh, we got some stuff to talk about. And you know what? I'm going to invite you today, if you'd like to talk about something, you know, talk about it. Send it on over to Shantice and let her, you know, get it to me. And, you know, if you want to talk about something, if something's on your chest, you want to get it out, somebody that made you mad and you didn't react and you want to get it out, hey, we're going to open up the floor today. You know, I always got stuff to talk about. And, you know, the stuff I got to talk about today, I'm coming off of a day of being absolutely sick, so my brain ain't functioning that great. So I wasn't really feeling all the little stories. But, you know, you never know. Once you start talking and once I start getting some feedback from all of you, then maybe, just maybe, things might shift a little bit. Okay? So let's take that break. Make sure you get that healthy breakfast. Make sure you tell a friend that it's due time when Pastor Steph is on. And make sure you don't go anywhere, because we'll be right back.
Early lung cancer typically does not cause symptoms. As the cancer grows, you may experience symptoms such as a cough that gets worse or does not go away, shortness of breath, chest pain, and wheezing. Other symptoms of lung cancer include coughing up blood, hoarseness, weight loss without trying, and frequent lung infections such as pneumonia. Other health problems may cause these symptoms. You should see your doctor if you have any symptoms you're concerned about.
Well, good morning, good morning, and good morning to you again. Welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And today is Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. Well, I am happy that I do have a nice little church folk conversation to be had. But before we get there, I want to make sure I say welcome, and I'm so glad that, you know, you're on with us this morning, nice and early in the week, and you could be doing anything, like sleeping, reading the newspaper, looking at the news, but you're hanging out with us today, and I'm so grateful to God to have you as a part of my morning. So, let's talk about some health stuff today. Well, everybody's heard of bok choy. Yes, that's the Chinese or the Asian vegetable. And it's a leafy green. And, you know, we always talk about how great the leafy greens do us. And it's full of antioxidants and vitamin C and vitamin A, and a lot of people use it when they do their, you know, their little stir fry. Mm-hmm. And you mix it up with other vegetables like carrots and, you know, all that other kind of good stuff. And it's really good, actually. It's really good. It's light. It's light like lettuce, but you can cook it. And they say that you can eat it raw, you can eat it cooked, and as always, as long as we don't overdo the cooking part, you know, we can benefit from it greatly. Okay, so let's talk about the way bok choy is great for your health. Well, guess what? They say you could be less likely to develop cancer. We just had our cancer PSA. And they say that the National Cancer Institute has found a tie between leafy green bok choy consumption and a lower risk of developing lung, prostate, and colon cancer. Okay. And they say that they have a lot of cancer-fighting properties. Yes. And you want to make sure that you boost your immunity to cancer and the cognitive function as well by eating bok choy. Oh, okay. Oh, they say that bok choy is great for your heart. Yes, that's number two. They say bok choy is rich in folate and vitamin B, and it helps to protect your heart. They say that a single cup of shredded bok choy contains 11% of the recommended daily allowance for both folate and vitamin B6. Okay. And they say the likelihood that you'll get heart disease may dip. Yeah, isn't that what we want? Okay. They say that one study found that a diet rich in things like bok choy, food like bok choy, could reduce your risk of heart disease by up to 15%. We need that, considering that we do other things that give us heart disease. So get that bok choy in you, okay? Ah, number three, you may see clearer. Wow. They say bok choy is great for your eye health. And they say that it's a great responsibility in boosting your eye health in general. And a diet rich in bok choy may ward off macular degeneration. Okay, now we got to go do the study on macular degeneration. But that has something to do with your eye health. Okay. So they say your bones will get the nutrients that they need, okay? They said you can build better bone health with bok choy. They say that it's ideal for vegans who refrain from eating dairy because it fills your bone with health bulking nutrients. So for those who really don't like milk, or like they say, vegans who stay away from dairy, this is a great substitute. Okay. They say a single cup of shredded bok choy contains 3% of your recommended daily allowance for magnesium, 7% for calcium, and 26% for vitamin K. Wow. That's some good stuff. Some good stuff. Okay. Wow. Here we go. Number five. Your thyroid function might improve. Wow. Okay. They say that your thyroid is responsible for producing hormones that tell your body how to grow, metabolize, sleep, and eat. And they say that it is great for your thyroid condition, especially hypothyroidism, your autoimmune thyroiditis, and enlarged thyroid. Now, you know, I'm forced to think about my mom here, and I think about the fact that she had heart issues and her vision and her thyroid. She suffered with hypothyroidism for decades. And think about, you know, had she been eating some bok choy, could that have helped? Possibly. Possibly. I mean, you're not talking about cure-alls. You're not saying that, you know, you won't have cancer, you won't have any issues with thyroid. But if we can find a way to eat, and that's one of the reasons why God has really given me this this portion of our mornings to talk about what we eat, because we all have some level of health issue. all of us, every last one of us, something is off. Something could be better. And to think that our food intake plays a lot, you know, and a big part. Hey, man, make sure you eat properly. Okay? So, you know, look up some recipes that include bok choy and you might enjoy it. Okay? Let me just run down that list again. It's a short list, but let me run down nonetheless. They say you could be less likely to develop cancer. Your heart issues will improve. You may see clearer. Your bones will get the nutrients they need. And remember, keep this in mind, that if you are not a person who drinks milk and, you know, eat stuff that helps your bones, bok choy will definitely help to fill in that gap. And your thyroid function might improve. Okay? So let's grab some bok choy. Let's grab some bok choy. So what are we going to talk about this morning? Well, let's do the follow-up to yesterday's story. We talked about, you know, all those workers, those government workers who were at risk of being fired for their lack of vaccination. Well, they did it. They did it. To be exact, there were 1,430 New York City workers who were terminated as of yesterday, including 36 NYPD workers, 25 department workers, fire department workers, I should say, 914 Department of Education staffers, and another couple from here and there. They went through with it. And here's what they said. They said, remember, we had a larger number yesterday. Well, the larger number was decreased because when they checked as of yesterday, the amount of people who needed to be vaccinated, the number had dropped. That it showed that quite a few of them went to get their first vaccination. That many showed that they had gotten at least one shot as of yesterday, which kept them off of the chopping block. And, you know, this is disgusting that you should, you know, be forced to put something in your body that you don't want to because you need your job. And, you know, who wants to have things held over their head, especially your paycheck? You know, they always said that everybody, most people, are, you know, just one paycheck from being like, poor, and especially these areas in which we're talking about, you know, we don't need our fire department cut because who are you gonna replace them with? You know, you don't need your NYPD cut. Now, if you think about, you know, how many people in that was cut, you know, is on the good side of the fence, and those who will cut one on the bad side of the fence. We don't know. And if you cut one person who was on the good side of the fence, you know, that's one too many because we have so many more that are on the wrong side of the fence. So, you know, you have your jobs where, you know, it's something that, you know, some people say you need to have it, some people don't want to. Whether you do or whether you do feel you should get it or whether you don't feel you should get it, it shouldn't be held over your head. It shouldn't be held over your head. Okay, they say that 101 New York City Housing Authority workers were lost. 40 sanitation department workers were terminated. And as a person who, you know, is out, you know, puts my garbage out, and a person who has walked past these restaurants and these other buildings where they have the garbage bags piled up and piled up and piled up, and our garbage hasn't been picked up on a regular basis. Think about the rat population now. Think about that. Think about how the more you leave garbage out, you know, you're trying to think of all of these reasons and why we have a rat surge in their population. You think about how, you know, we've been talking about how, you know, different ways that you can kill the rats. Well, how are you going to kill them now when garbage is being left out? You know, our garbage is picked up twice a week, and we have been getting a lot slower. When we look outside, our garbage is still sitting there. Like I said, I have walked past buildings, you know, where, you know, the maintenance workers, janitors, sit that garbage outside. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? You know, it has a domino effect. You know, when you let these people go, it has a domino effect. You know, this world is shifting because, you know, how many people do you even have out here working, period? I don't care what you're doing, what kind of job you do. How many people do you have out here working who are really thinking about servicing the community, and they're not wrapped up in their own issues and, you know, problems, and they give you attitude? And now you've got less people working out here that are good people, either because they have quit or because they have been fired from their job. So this is a sad situation where you have people who lose their jobs, you know, because, you know, of this vaccination issue. And again, I'm talking about a firefighter who, I'm sorry, you can't replace with your next door neighbor. You can't replace these people who running inside of a place that's burning. You know, these people give their lives up. Yes, every time they run into a burning building, their life is on the line. And fire department does not only take care of our burning buildings. They do a lot of other stuff in the community. So, you know, they went through with it. They went through with it. Ah, here was another story I found very interesting. You know, like I said, I wasn't like, you know, over the top with our news, but I did find very, very interesting. And, you know, some people out in Germany, they went out enjoying, you know, early the Valentine's Day celebration with their loved one, or loved one, rather. And do you know that they are investigating because the people drank the champagne and immediately got sick, started having seizures, passing out, and even one man lost his life by the time they got him to the emergency room. He was dead. 52-year-old man died in the ER. And what happened was they come to find out there was ecstasy in the bottles, of champagne. And the biggest head scratcher for them is the bottles were brand new. Yeah, they had not been opened. They had not been tampered with. And they're thinking that in actuality, that it wasn't champagne to begin with. They believe that it's a part of a ecstasy trafficking movement. Yeah, and what the liquid that was in the bottles were not, it wasn't actually champagne, but it was a liquid that would maintain the potency of the ecstasy. And somehow or another, it got mixed up with champagne bottles. real champagne bottles. And, you know, can you imagine being a merchant, a restaurant owner who, you know, you've sold these people these bottles of champagne, and, you know, these bottles of champagne ain't cheap. And as soon as the bottles got opened, the people immediately got sick. And they say the potency of the ecstasy in the bottles were it was phenomenally high. Well, again, they're thinking that it really wasn't champagne. And, you know, if you think about it, even that combination, champagne and ecstasy, would definitely harm somebody. They say that the patrons were between the ages of 33 and 52, all young people, and I'm not saying it should have been anything different or whatever, but my thing is, you know, again, they're thinking they're just going out and, you know, they're just going to be with their loved ones and, you know, they're going to, you know, celebrate and, you know, imagine how many glasses got clinked, you know, how many cheers, and to think that as soon as they drank it, they say as soon as the bottles started getting opened, the people immediately. Now, you know, you don't have enough staff in there to address the seizures and the passing out and all of that kind of stuff that your patrons were experiencing. Oh, that had to be pretty scary. Can you imagine? That had to be pretty scary. Well, on to our next story here. This is disgusting. They have this Indonesian teacher who opened up a boarding school for young ladies, and over the years, starting in 2016, this Indonesian teacher, you know, took advantage of these young girls, and 13 of them he raped, and they say that he groomed them and raped them, all from the year of 2016. And they said that, now check this out, this is why I wanted to bring this to you, that he had rules in this school, such as he took away their mobile phones so they could not have regular contact with their families. And the trips home were only once a year. Now, I don't really, you know, okay, so first of all, let's start here. The boarding schools, we don't send our kids away to no boarding school, not on this side of the fence, because we, first of all, can't even afford it. Number two, when we give our children a cell phone, we're not paying the bill for someone else to take the phone. You know, you've even found that because of all the stuff that's going on in our local, you know, in the nation, that, you know, they're not taking the phones from the children like they used to because, God forbid anything happens in the school, they want the children to be able to reach out and communicate. You know, whether it's 911, whether it's their parents, somehow or another, reach out to somebody. So here you have it. You have allowed your child, you've taken your child to this boarding school, dropped your child off, and you don't hear from your kid. And you fine. Your child can't come home but once a year, and you're fine. Okay, so something's already wrong with this layout here. So that's why I guess they say he groomed them, because who else do you have to rely on? Who else do you have to rely on when you only got this teacher And, you know, again, where have you been when all of these gymnasts and these other schools, you know, children have reported that they've been raped or molested or something has gone on with them, you know, during the time that they've been going back and forth to school? So you're going to send your kids away and you don't hear from them and it's fine? So here's the other interesting part of this story. So after one of the parents, are you ready for this part? They said of the 13 girls who were raped, let me get the number. I got to get the number. 9 of the 13 had given birth. Okay, so, and it only took one parent. When one of the parents discovered that their child was pregnant, they made the report to the police. Now, I'm lost here. 9 girls had given birth. You sent this child away to a boarding school. I always give my little side joke, but you send this child away to an all-girls boarding school, and now the child comes back giving birth, and nobody says anything? So after they found out, and he was arrested, and they were trying to find a sentence from him, the prosecutors wanted to give him the death sentence, the death penalty. But they were overruled. The court overruled that. They would not give him, a death sentence. Then they suggested that he be castrated, but, like, by liquid castration, and the courts overruled that. But what they did decide was that he would spend the rest of his life in jail. They call it chemical castration, and they said no to all of those things. And what they did was they decided to give him the rest of his life in jail, and they say that he has to pay like $21,000 to each of the victims. Now, if you spend the rest of your life in jail, please tell me where you're going to be able to spend any money, make any money, but you're going to really be able to pay these people $21,000 to 13 people. That's well over $210,000. So is that really, really a good sentence? Come on, let me hear from you. 347-285-7777. Is that really something that, you know, you really feel like? They kept saying no. They said no to the death sentence. They said no to the chemical castration. But they're willing to lock him up for the rest of his life, and that he pays $21,000 to each victim. Now, here's the problem in Indonesia. The Indonesian government has to pay the equivalent to our $5,945 to each of their victims. Because this is a huge issue out there in Indonesia. Yeah, they say that all types of marital rape, sexual harassment, sexual violence, this is really a big issue out there. And somehow or another, the government is now required to pay almost $6,000 to each of the victims out there. So I guess maybe they're shrugging their shoulders at this gentleman who has made it his business to get this done. This is some sick stuff, y'all. This is some sick stuff. Let's talk about this here. Give me a hit, 347-285-7777. I got a couple more things that I want to talk about. Let's talk about it Tuesday. I can talk, right? So you have this model who she calls a supersized booty. So if you can, I want you to look up model with supersized booty. And her complaint is she can't find true love. She's 27 years old, and she has undergone 5 Brazilian butt lifts. She looks disgusting. You have gotten so many butt lifts that your butt is every which way but loose. She has also undergone, like, other, cosmetic surgeries. And she says she started off when she was 20. And she's had breast lifts, lip fillers. She looks horrible. She really looks bad, y'all. And the thing about it is, she said she's dated and nobody would go on a second date with her. And she honestly believes that, you know, it's from her butt jobs. And, you know, the other interesting thing that I found is she said that the last guy she dated said that the butt was just too much. Yeah. She said that he said he had no interest. The date was disastrous, she even says. She said it didn't work out. And she said that he said it's too much for him. It was too much for him to handle all the thickness and all the curves. And my thing was, could you even look at her face? She looks horrible. And they show a picture of her before she got, you know, her what do you call it, those cosmetic surgeries. And she doesn't look bad. She looks like a decent young lady. Remember now, she started when she was 20. And she's been having surgery after surgery after surgery. And when you look at her face, you can easily see the butt enhancers. I'm sorry, not the butt enhancers. The lip fillers. And she looks terrible. My thing is, she wants to have more. Yep. She says she's going to have more. She's going to have more. And she's getting ready to have her next one. And my thing is, if your goal is to find love and you see that it's not happening, then what's the issue? What's the issue? Just stop. Just stop. Just cut it out. What are you sacrificing? What are you sacrificing? If you do all of this and you can't find love, which means you're not going to be able to get, you know, close to anybody, you know, what's going to happen? What's going to happen for the rest of your life? What's going to happen to the rest of your life? Are you going to spend the rest of your life ultimately depressed because you can't find love? For her to mention the fact that she can't find love, that means that she's looking for it. Well, if the man didn't already told you and you think and it shows that all of your dates don't go well, then what's the problem? Cut it out. Cut it out. I don't understand. Cut it out. I don't know. Maybe y'all can help me figure something out because I don't know. I don't know. We got another story here, which you talk about revenge. This is crazy. So, yeah, I'm all over the place today because these are the things that was facing me in the news. So you have a gentleman who was in jail who was killed He was murdered in jail. Well, it didn't stop there. They say that at his wake, three people were shot. The people that were responsible for killing this man in a Mexico jail, that they went on a full-fledged attack, and they went to the private home where they were having a wake, and they shot two women and a man during the wake. Well, it didn't stop there, because they say hours later, they were having the actual funeral service for the same gentleman, and the same attackers, they went and they shot the people there. Now, can you imagine? What did this man do that you would kill him in the jail, go and kill the ones at the wake, and then you would kill people at the funeral? And they say of all the people they killed, there was a 12-year-old boy and his father killed at this funeral. So in total, there was the man in jail and nine other people killed, all because they had some level of revenge against this gentleman. Now, killing him wasn't enough. You know, generally, when they can't kill you to send you a message, they kill your family. Well, this didn't even seem to matter. They said that this went that far, and, you know, this city of Juarez in Mexico, they have the highest level of murders in this city. Their whole place, they have at least four murders a day in this one city. So I don't know. These people, you know, don't react, man. This was calculated. You killed the man in jail, went to the wake, and went to the funeral? Really? You can't hurt the man no more. You done killed him. He can't feel it. He don't know it. He can't see it. Oh, where is my due time crew? Where's my due time crew? Oh, let's talk to our Pastor Ed. Good morning, Pastor Ed.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm okay, thank you. I'm okay. Glad to have you on. You know, we are talking about our news here today. And we start off with, you know, what's your thought of our New York City workers being terminated for lack of vaccination? Now, we know that this is supposed to be optional. Everybody has their own individual feelings as to whether you want to for your, you know, your sake or whatever. But what's your thought on this?
Yeah, this is a difficult one because just knowing the city of New York, I know that they need those professional and qualified workers just to maintain the city. The vaccine mandate, you know, that's been challenged in court. Even, you know, I work for the federal government, and so we're mandated to be vaccinated, and we had a deadline or we would lose our jobs. But right now it's being held up in the Supreme Court. So I don't know. This pandemic is quite a treacherous. It has us in a bad spot in our nation. And so I don't really know how they're going to control it. I know we have to be careful because of people's individual rights. At the same time, they have to find a balance on how they're going to keep the public safe, how they're going to keep their fellow coworkers. So with the policy in New York, is there some kind of testing mandate that, that they put in place to go along with the lack of vaccines?
In the beginning, you know, they started off, you know, once we came out of quarantine, they started where, you know, the employers would mandate that you would get tested, you know, every so often. Some people once every week, some every couple of weeks. And, you know, that's how you maintained, you know, that wasn't a maintainment of employment at the time. It just started off that they were just mandating, you know, just to, like you said, to keep everybody safe, keep your coworkers safe. You still had to mask up. You weren't allowed to take your mask off. But just to make sure that everybody kind of knew your status, you know, you just had to check test. Then afterwards, they mandated that you test or be vaccinated. When the vaccination became available, they said, okay, either you vaccinate or you test. And I guess they were figuring that people would get tired of the consistent testing, so they gave them that option. Well, certain people just didn't care about the testing. They were willing to test every week or whatever, and they were fine with it, you know. And, again, this was their way. It was a weekly testing, and this was your way of finding out the status of everybody. And when they saw that a lot of people kind of fell into that groove, they started mandating that everybody was vaccinated. And it kind of came out of the employer's hands into a regulation that you were not allowed to employ someone who wasn't vaccinated. So it kind of forced their hand, because they were okay with, you know what, if they're testing every week, it ain't costing us nothing. So you just go get tested, come back, show us, you know, your testing results, and you could just keep on working. But then the powers that be decided, you know, well, the mayor decided to pass this rule that slowly everybody had to be vaccinated. And if you were not vaccinated, initially it didn't hit the private sector. It was, you know, the other area. And they mandated that those people be vaccinated or they could not work. They gave them dates and deadlines. And some people opted to quit. Some people opted to, you know, go ahead and get vaccinated. And some just were fired because they were not vaccinated. Then he started tampering with the private sector down to the bodegas, where even a person who had a bodega, everybody in that bodega better be vaccinated. And if they came through and if you had anybody who wasn't vaccinated in that bodega, you were going to pay $3,000 per, up to $3,000 per employee that you had. So that's how we're here. You know, it didn't start this way. They started where everybody was able to just test and show that they were negative, and you could continue to work. Now we got a whole different story going on here.
Yeah, I think they are dabbling with a bit of overreach. I understand they do have a responsibility to try to keep the city and its residents safe, but they have to find the balance. If the testing and masking and social distancing was working to keep people safe, then I think it may be a bit much to mandate the vaccine in the manner that they've done it. And especially when you look at the fact that it's going to endanger the city as it relates to professional qualified workers in those various areas. I'll say this. I'm glad I'm not in the mayor's position or any of the leadership position, because I'm sure they have both sides screaming at them, you know, those that are fully in favor of the vaccine and those that are not in favor of it. I think they need to go back and review their policies and find a better balance that is not going to force people out of their jobs, people that they need. Find, you know, go to the science and find out which precautions work best without going to the extreme of mandating vaccinations.
All righty, all righty. Ah, yeah, you're going to have to do a little better than this. You have to do a whole lot better than this. Let's talk about this, let's talk about this teacher who, you know, founded this boarding school, and he had an agenda up his sleeve, and the people of Indonesia fell right into his hands. What's your thought? You know, you send your kid off to boarding school. They don't have – you send them off with a phone. He confiscates the phone. He only allows them to come home one time a year. How are you comfortable with this?
No. There was failure on so many levels, starting with the parents, obviously the teacher. But, you know, one of the problems with Indonesia is one of those patriarchal societies where women and especially girls and children are relegated to almost, you know, non-citizens, almost like they don't have any rights. You know, and I may be exaggerating it some, but we know that type of society. And so I just feel that these girls were a victim of that overall patriarchy, even the mindset of their parents. For this teacher to feel comfortable enough in his sickness, perverted sickness, to feel he could get away with it, and then even the way that the government handled it. So it was just a failure on every level. But I think it's, for me, it starts with the parents, because you've got to be more mindful. That's your child that you sent off. And I'm like you. I pay for a phone. I expect to hear from you, because there's a reason I got you. And this coming home once a year, no. Listen, there are holidays and breaks. You don't get to dictate to me when I can spend time with my child. That should have been red flag number one. And it also says something about the relationship they must have with their children, that, you know, they really felt that much intimidated by this man, that at some point they wouldn't give some kind of indication to their parents that something's, even if they couldn't put into words exactly what was, or didn't put into words what was happening, they should have been able to indicate, my child, I know when, in most cases, when something's troubling them or when something's wrong.
Right.
There were a lot of failures in this situation. It's bad.
Absolutely. Ah, thank you so much for joining us, Pastor Ed, and we'll be back to talk about our main conversation, our topic this morning. Let's say good morning to our Pastor Charlene. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
I am well, thank you. I am well. How you doing over there?
I'm well, thank you.
All righty. Oh, we got some things to talk about. Let's talk about this. You know, yesterday we talked about it, you know, the potential firing of the employees, and they did it. They managed to get rid of 1,430 employees. You had the other employees that were at risk of losing their jobs, but, you know, you couldn't do it because they had shown at least one vaccination, the beginning of this whole vaccination regimen. So here's what I want to ask you, because you've already said how you felt yesterday. You know, you have your back up against the wall. You know, you need to pay your bills. You need to pay, you know, to take care of your family. You need to eat. And, you know, they're not giving unemployment to people who didn't vaccinate and lost their jobs. You know, what's your thought on, you know, now my back is up against the wall and I'm forced to put something in my body that I don't want to, but in order to take care of my family, I must.
Well, my thought is that now, do I do this or I don't? Because if I do it, I'll keep my job. If I don't do it, now I become a criminal. Because the criminal rate is going to go up even higher. And now you know that there's not many cops out here like it used to be. So you already know that it's a possibility that you'll get away. That's the crazy part, because now you're in the middle. So I would think that majority, some are going to feel it and they're going to have to just go through it. And some are just going to go on the criminal side. It's like it's in the air. You don't know which, you know, it, depending on the person's mind and depending on the pressure that they're getting from home, you know, and like you said, now we're going to have, it falls in so much because now we're going to fall into, I don't have no money, so now I'm homeless. So now there's another person or another family. So everything trickles down to even more. And you can see the difference, you know, that how everything is going to go up. Yesterday, I'm going to show you case in point. Yesterday, there was a fire on 125th Street. And this fire was so big. One of the nail places went up. So many fire trucks. But you know how normally it'd be a whole bunch of them jumping out? No, it was nothing like that yesterday. You can count how many people. And then, you know, when they take the, I don't know what you call it, but when they take the ladder that goes up on the side to go into the building, one fireman was on there, and he took his time. He took his time. And it shows how they are, I guess they overwhelmed, I'm sure. You know, and I mean, when I say they blocked up, and then the people who were coming with the stretchers, they were taking their time. It was like so overwhelming.
Wow.
But you can count how many of them that was there. Normally, then would you, you know, normally see them jumping out in a hole, but nothing like that.
Wow. And I was so sad.
Everybody was like, I can't believe this. Yep. So you can see it. I saw that firsthand yesterday.
Wow. This is crazy, Pastor Sean. This is really just above and beyond anything that they really didn't think this through. There's nowhere in the world, Pastor Sean, that you didn't envision this. Because when you the Bible tells us, you know, two areas, write it down and make it plain. Before you do anything, you got to write down the whole regimen. The beginning to the end. You know, the Bible says, who plans to build a house without preparing properly? So you would have to sit down. You mean to tell me that the group of people who made this decision and allowed this to take place, you know, didn't think about the repercussions behind this particular, like I said, you know, so you want to do this to one sector, that's one thing. But when you talk about fire department and things, these people are trained. These people have to have the courage. This is not something that you just throw caution to the wind, yay or yay or nay or. This is terrible. And, you know, prayers for, you know, these people and these families and the fire department workers who now are under a lot more pressure, like you said, to, you know, even have to endure all of this. Oh, my goodness.
What else is sad, too, is because remember that they work, I think they work like, is it 4 days and then the rest day off?
3 days.
It's a certain amount that they work, right? Mm-hmm. So now who is going to relieve them? You know what I mean? So, and like you said, they didn't think it through. You got to think about the ones that's going and the ones that are there.
Right.
And the ones who are now going to become overwhelmed that's going to say, you know what? Enough is enough. And we'll just find a way and just quit. Just walk in and decide, I don't want to do this no more. Then what?
Right.
So now everybody's going to get buckets of water. We're going to put out our own fire.
Right. You really, for a group of people who have been charged with taking care of this city, you have done a very poor job, even in that decision. We're not even talking about the long-term result. We're talking about just being able to say, you're just going to fire people. You're just going to fire people. What weight does that put on the city? So that this just dumb, just straight dumb and careless and reckless, and you are not concerned with the city of New York. You're not at all.
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. All right. So I want to talk with you about this woman who is now 27, since the age of 20. She's been going through these cosmetic surgeries. She's had 5 Brazilian butt lifts. And, you know, this is really affecting her, let's say, love life. She's had cosmetic surgery on her breast. She's had cosmetic surgery on her lips. And now, because of all of the curves and shapes and all of these other things, she says she can't find love. You know, what is your recourse? Go have this 6th surgery, which she's preparing for. You know, what gets in our head when we toss up this for love, and now we're talking about we can't find love? What's your thought?
My first thought was that she looking for love in all the wrong places, and she don't love herself.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not accepting how God has created her, you know. So there, I thought of that she didn't even do her homework. I think her name is Kay Kim that has a show. And it talks about the women that's having all of these Botox and all of this stuff and how it affected their body, how people have died from it, you know. So she has not even done her homework. Whatever she's looking for, I guess she thinks the bigger, the better, but a lot of people don't. It becomes not real. I mean, it's just like the man told her, that's too much. So right there, you should have thought about that. You know, okay, no, let me go no further than this. Maybe it's not the body. It could be her personality that makes you look sick, too. You know, so it goes in a long way. What are you looking for, right, as a woman?
Yep, And that's why I thought it was so cockeyed that she would get all of these surgeries and then complain, hey, you know, I'm not getting – you know, what I'm looking for is, okay, well, you're the one who's controlling this, and still you're talking about getting a 6th butt surgery, and he's already told you, and you've already, you know, had that feeling that this is a problem. Then what is your problem? Thank you, Pastor Charlotte, for joining us today. We'll be back to discuss our main topic very shortly. Well, Pastor KL is not feeling well, and we pray for his healing. And we got our lady Tamika to step in for him. Good morning, Tamika.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy Tuesday.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. I'm well. Thank you so much for stepping in and standing in for Pastor KL. And we want to talk about, you know, this first, you know, story that we talked about yesterday. And they followed through. And, you know, I had Pastor Charlin speak on the fact that, okay, so now you follow through. Now you've got all of this repercussion that's going to come behind, you know, now that you're 1,430 people less in the employment area. Now these people don't have unemployment to fall back on. So where do you see all of this going?
You know, this is truly a hardship, and New York, whether people are aware of it or not, has been the testing ground and continues to be so. You know, so what happens in New York will ultimately, you know, happen across the board, you know, and it's sad that, you know, unlike any other medication, this one is the one that, you know, you do this or else, you know, there are no other options, you know, even so much as, you know, something as simple as looking up or Googling remedies for COVID, the only thing that you will find, and you can check me on it, is the vaccine, you know, and so that becomes, it's one of those things where you have no other avenue, you know, and it's a hardship because these are areas, it's not something that, you know, that nobody, you have to be trained for these things. You know, NYCHA is a different type of environment, and you have to have the right type of mentality to work with those type of people. And I'm not picking at it. It's just, you know, you have to have the right type of training. You have to say the right type of things because you also have to deal with people who may have mental issues, and the things that you say or even something as simple as your body language can cause an issue. You're talking about, you know, fires. I have a fire department right around the corner from me. And, you know, can you imagine something as simple? A couple of years ago, I had a gas leak in my home. So we're not even talking about a fire. We're talking about a gas leak. And, you know, something as simple as you using your phone or lighting a match or, you know, a multiplicity of things can cause an issue. And just the delay with the fire department being right around the corner can wreak havoc, you know, not just my home, but the homes that are on that block, because I live in one of those homes where, you know, the block is connected by one wall. Every house, you know, the left wall or the right wall is connected. And so, you know, these are areas where, you know, we need these people. You know, we need our fire department. We need our police officers. We need our NYCHA workers. You know, we need our customer service workers. These are the things that help keep New York intact. And when you start, you know, wielding away at it and saying, okay, if you don't do this and you can't get unemployment and you can't, you know, it's difficult to find other means. And now it's at a point whereas if you file a resume, if they don't see a vaccination, they won't even look at your resume. So that's another avenue that's closed. It's very difficult. And Pastor Charlene is right. Either you're going to find a means of something to do, or you're going to go on the wrong side of the track.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to give you an option to use as a second story, either the Indonesian teacher or the model who continues to get this cosmetic surgery but can't figure out why she can't find love. Which one do you want to tackle?
I think at this time I'm going to go for the Indonesian teacher. My heart goes out to the young ladies as well as the family that are now going to have to have some form of therapy, you know, for these young ladies. And, you know, the issue with this man who groomed these young ladies for whatever length of time and then ultimately raped them. My heart goes out to the parents who, you know, maybe in their mind thought that they were doing the right thing. You know, one thing that I'm not going to do, you know, especially with, you know, my child or children that I'm responsible for, when you go out of my realm, I gave you a phone. You know, and the one moment that I can't call you and you're telling me you don't come home for a year, I can't get in contact with my child and my child can't come home for a year, that's a major problem. You know, the calmness in me, you know, I lose it over my babies. And then here's the thing, you're going to an all-girls school, so there are no boys there. So where did she get pregnant from? There's only one option, and you know, the sad part about it, there was only one parent that came forth because, you know, your child, you know, got pregnant. You didn't say anything even after the fact. You know, my heart goes out to all of that has to transpire. And then the gentleman, you know, I don't even really honestly want to call him a gentleman, but, you know, who assaulted all these ladies. You know, I personally don't feel that he's getting what he should get, you know, based on what he did to these young ladies.
I know. This is crazy, you know, to think that, you know, again, you would be comfortable with this, you know, sending a child away and things like this. And again, you know, that's much different than on this side of the fence, as we say, you know, where You first of all, we ain't got that kind of money. Number two, if we send our kid away, we check in, we driving up there, you know, we knocking on the door, that's not something that, you know, when we send our kids away to sleepaway camp, you know, which is something that I never did. It's bad enough when you actually spend the night at your friend's house. You know, now I don't know, how am I sleeping? You know, so it says a lot, you know, for just you as a parent and your comfortability level and how did you train your children? And these are young girls. These are girls. So absolutely, point well taken. Thank you all for addressing our stories. I have a very interesting article that I came across a couple of weeks ago, and I held it for Church Folk Day. And it's about gospel singer Kiara Kiki Sheard, the daughter of Karen Clark Sheard from the Clark Sisters. And we, you know, during an interview, Kiara said that, you know, she would not allow her single friends to stay the night in her home, as this is with her husband, you know, now that she's married. And, you know, this advice came from her mom. And I want to read a bit of what the mom had to say. She says, absolutely, my mama has already told me, look, don't have too many people around your house. Don't get comfortable. I don't care how good you trust or whatever it is. I'm very mindful and careful. I would buy a friend a hotel room before I let them stay at my house. However, I am a prayerful woman to discern the space that I'm in. I'm also very cautious of what purpose am I supposed to serve in this person's life. While I am very prayerful, I'm always also asking God outside of, this is what she's saying, you know, outside of her mom to direct her in this season. She's supposed to let, you know, if she's supposed to let anyone into her home. And the backlash is coming from people who are saying that, you know, this is the way the world has you thinking, and, Christian people feel like they're above anybody, and, they have been poisoned to believe that, you know, this is what happens, and, you know, they should know better, you know. And she says, you know, she's asked God to just, you know, help her discern, you know, the things that she should do and the things that she shouldn't do. And she's opted to take her mother's advice. So I want to get your thought on, you know, you're being smashed again by the unbelievers who are saying that here we go again. You know, these church folk and how they, you know, decide to live their life. And, you know, if you should be able to trust your friends, you know, and have them over in your home. What's the point of having these big homes if you can't have somebody over? And, oh, and here's the biggest part. You don't, why marry a man and then not trust him? If you married him, you should be able to trust him, and therefore having people in your home should not, you know, be an issue. What's your thought? I'm going to start with you, Pastor Charlene. What's your thought?
Funny that you brought this up. Well, my home is my sanctuary, and when I'm home, I should be able to be at peace. I'm agreeing because of the fact that you cannot control and you don't know what someone else might be thinking. I've had an incident twice that has happened to me where that I used to allow people to come and stay at my home. And they were church. Well, one was church, one wasn't, you know, had went to church. And I had to have conversation of that you need to put on some clothes. One, this is not your home. Two, you're around my husband. So therefore, it became into the same thing which you say, oh, you acting like I want him, and I had to go through all of that too. So y'all know they had to go. And where it went to was that it wasn't about church. We got to separate, you know, of all of this extra, not trusting, not this, that, and the other. The enemy will find a way to come in. Next thing you know, that you and your spouse is arguing over something that you don't need to. So one place that you can control is within your home. So therefore, when you come, you have to be able to respect whose house it is. And no matter who walk in, that lady whose house it is, she's the queen of that house. So I've had that issue, and I've had people say the same thing to me. People in Christ, out of Christ, have said the same thing to me. My grandmother taught me that you don't allow your friends hanging around your boyfriend, because eventually you get mad, you start telling, oh, you like this, he like that, and the next thing you know, they're jealous. And they're going to slide right on in. I didn't believe her until it happened. So that person might be in a vulnerable part, aware that they come and they stay with you. Things happen. My first husband taught me that too. He said, when I'm not here, do not let my, he has five brothers. I don't care. Do not let my brothers come in. I'm not saying that they want you or you want them. As a man, I'm telling you, these are things that you have to be very careful about, because at the state of the time, you don't know where their mind might go, and that people say, oops, it was a mistake. So I disagree with that she was wrong. She knows that's her house, and she wants to keep her house as her sanctuary. And as a person who experienced it, don't do it if you don't have to. And I don't care who it is, any female, don't do it.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Charlene. Oh, Lady Tamika, what's your thought?
You have a right as a person who lives in a home with a spouse to say what you demand for your household. You know, there are limits and respects as married people that should be there. You know, even if something as simple, you know, you got a spouse, you know, and the opposite sex, don't let my sibling come in when I'm not there. You know, if I'm the married person, you know, and I have a sister, you know, no, my sister doesn't come over when I'm not there. You know, and there should be rules and guidelines. And I don't think that she's wrong by saying, okay, well, my especially my single friends, oh, no, they're not coming by. If somebody's coming by, you can have, you know, a married couple come over, you know, but then again, they have to go home. They have time frames, you know, you have a home, go to your home, you know, and you have a right to say that, you know. I personally, my best friend is married, and she lives in another state. And in order for me to see her, I have to travel to that state. However, you know, when she picks up and leaves, I pick up and leave, because I honor her and I honor her marriage, and I would never, you know, defile that. And so you have to set a precedence in your home. And I honestly don't disagree with her, because, you know, a lot of times what ends up happening in relationships, you know, you and the spouse get to arguing, and the first person that they turn to is that best friend of yours, you know. And so, yeah, you don't see it coming. However, you need to put a guard on that, because, you know, those people are closest to you. It's usually a sibling or a best friend, someone who's close to you that they latch on to, because that's that person that's close to you. And so I think it is important that you set that precedence and leave it there.
Okay. Okay. Pastor Ed, what's your take on this from the opposite side of the gender spectrum?
Well, first and foremost for me, the bottom line is it's their house, her house, she and her husband's house. And so whatever rules they decide to set for their house, those are their rules, even before you get into the reasons for it. So I think her wishes or she and her spouse's wishes should be respected. If that's the rules of their house, that's what they are. Now, like I said, there may be experiences in her life and her mother's life and her family's life. I don't know the 100% the reasons for why that advice was given, but at the end of the day, it's their home. And so that's the rule, and that's what folks will have to abide by. You know, she obviously there's something behind or underlying to why her mother would give her that advice. And like I said, and she accepted that advice from her mother and set that as the rule for their house. And people just have to respect it. And for all the unbelievers or whoever else, you know, is as they say, dragging her or slamming her, get over it. You don't pay the rent. You don't pay the mortgage. Period.
Right. I want to ask this question. What are the areas? Okay, so we know the spending the night you have spoken about. What other areas do we want to advise people, you know, when it comes to your marriage, you know, keep it separate. You know, don't do this or don't do that. You know, keep it separate, whether it's church folk or not. You know, just to guard, you know, there's an issue. Let's go back. Forget that for right now. There's an issue of the comments. Well, the world has taught us as women, well, you can't trust a man, and you should be able to trust your man. If you trust your man, then you should be able to have your friends by and not by, but spend a night, and you shouldn't have to worry about it. What's your response to that? You know, Lady Tamika, where they're saying, well, if we're Christian, we are out of sorts because the Christian people have said, you know, well, that's what the world says. And, you know, we as Christian people, if we trust our husbands, if this is the man we married, we should be able to trust them. And the world has got us believing that men are not trustworthy and they're not loyal. Well, what's your thought?
Okay. I think that that's not where we are in this conversation. It's not that I don't trust my mate, and it's not that he can't be trustworthy because, you know, honestly, you know, if he is who he is and he's an upstanding individual, she can be completely the way that God created her without a stitch, and he won't move. However, you don't put a stake in front of, you know, someone and then dare them not to try it. You know, my thing is you have the right in your home to say, okay, no, we're not going to do this. You know, and again, it doesn't mean that I don't trust you. It means that I limit the temptation so that it's not there. Honestly,
okay.
Truthfully, if you're going to do something as an individual, you're going to do it whether you're going to do it in the home or outside of the home. So my thing is, if I trust you, I trust you.
Okay. Pastor Ed, you know, this is a smash against them, you know, oh, the Christian women, you know, if you're different, you should know your husband differently. You should have chosen differently. You know, the world has taught us as Christian women not to trust our husbands, and now we're falling prey to the way that the worldly women believe. What's your thought on that one?
My thing is, this is not something to play around with games and testing. Why am I going to, if it's not necessary, why am I going to put my spouse in a situation that could go left or go the wrong way? The bottom line is, yeah, we're not of the world, but we are in this world, and the influences, point blank period, they're there. Even when you're not looking for them, the influences are there. And my thing is, what I have control over, that I have control over. And it still goes back to the fact that, no, I'm not going to set up a potential temptation in my house. And it's not even about trust. Maybe I trust them, but I don't trust the ones around them. And it's kind of like Lady Tamika said, you're not going to put a stake in front of a lion or a tiger, you know, and put them in that particular place. So why tempt and test? Yes, we trust each other, but I don't need to put you through any undue trials or or, you know, proof, truth or dare, whatever you want to call it. So, like I said, that's their opinion, and they're welcome to their opinion. But at the end of the day, it's my marriage, it's my house, and we make the choices that we feel that are best for us.
Okay, okay. Pastor Charlene, you know, hey, you should be able to trust your married husband as a Christian woman, you know, and the world has put it in our head that we can't. What's your response?
Well, my thing is, yes, we trust our spouse, and that's why we set boundaries. And we're that we will not let anything or anyone come in the middle. So therefore, whatever we decide, like Pastor Ed said, it shall be. And there will be no sideways. My thing is, temptation can creep in at any time. So I'm agreeing with them. Don't put nothing in front, and you ain't got to worry, because the tiger will be me.
All right, Pastor Charlene. Go ahead, girl. You know, what, in closing, what are the other words of caution that we would tell, you know, a married couple? You know, stay away from this in order not to, you know, cause any problems in your marriage. So, you know, Kiara Shear's mother said, don't listen. Don't bring no, you know, woman in your house to spend the night. Get them a hotel room, you know, if they have to come to town or whatever, but don't let them spend the night in your house. What would be your one married piece of advice? If you don't want to cause problems in your marriage, don't. And I'm going to start with you, Pastor Ed.
I guess for me, and it's not really along the lines of this situation, but don't neglect your spouse to the point that somebody else is giving them more attention or building them up more than you are. You need to be supporting and nurturing one another so that nobody else has room to creep in and try to falsely assume your place where the affections are concerned.
All right, all right. Good one, good one, good one. Thank you. Pastor Charlene, you know, outside of what we've already spoken about and what Pastor Ed already said, what would be one area that you would caution, you know, a married couple, church folk or not, you know, not to do if you want to, you know, be okay in your marriage?
Mm-hmm. Don't keep any secrets when someone comes and tell you something about your spouse or it could be friends, family, whomever. Do not keep any secrets from one another, because what happens is that person will make it seem like they have the upper hand who came to tell the story. And they always have a motive behind when they say, don't tell your spouse.
All right. Good stuff. What about you, Lady Tamika? You know, outside of what Pastor Ed said, outside of what Pastor Charlene said, and outside of what Karen Clark Shear said, what would be your word of advice?
Keep that personal, private business to yourself. You know, I'm sure you might want to share and you might be happy about something, but you're better off keeping it to yourself.
All right. Good stuff. Thank you so much, Pastor Ed, Pastor Charlene, and Lady Tamika, for your contribution into our church folk. Let's talk about it, Day. We pray that you have a blessed day.
You all do the same.
Well, have a wonderful day, everyone.
Thank you,
too.
Thank you. All right. Well, we have a comment or comments from our listeners. So let's say good morning to Shantice and hear what the listeners have got to say. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning.
What you got for us today?
Okay, I have a couple of comments here. The first one is kind of going back on one of your earlier stories. A listener sent in, I say it all the time, pardon these kids, if I have to try to make sense of things, I would say the parents were sending the kids away because of behavioral issues, and they may have just assumed the girls found a way to get pregnant willingly, which still doesn't quite make sense because I would have at least questioned the ability of the school of my child to still misbehaving and getting away from the school to have sex and get pregnant. So either way, how only one parent has the sense enough to call authorities, shake my head. Maybe the money will come from money he's made with the school that he already has, which can be paid out by lawyers.
All right. That makes sense. This way, you know, we know he can't literally spend any, but like you said, maybe he does have, you know, some funds kind of stored up from this school thing here. Okay, makes sense.
Yes. And then we have, regarding the Kiara Shear comments, I think that's a good precaution to take. Yeah, if he wants to cheat, he's going to cheat, but I'm not going to open up the door and allow easy access. And anyone outside the marriage shouldn't be concerned about what she allows or doesn't allow. Mind your business.
All right. The general consensus of the room, you know, just do what you do and, you know, and don't mind what I do. So thank you so much. Do you have any other comments?
No, that's all.
Okay. Do you have a comment?
I agree with what everyone is saying. You know, the comment from the church people that says, oh, well, you're thinking so worldly. So, no, she's thinking realistically. And as a woman, as a wife, my job is to protect what's mine, and that marriage is hers. You know, she has to do what she has to do. So, you know, you gotta listen. We're living. We're not of the world. We're in this world, and since we're in this world, we see what's going on. So, if I choose to make sure I'm protecting myself, and I'm protecting my husband and our marriage, then that's the same thing. The same thing if it's a friendship. You know, I feel like, and not enough of that is happening now. I feel like everybody's just turning a blind eye to it because, oh, so-and-so should know. So-and-so wouldn't do that. So, no, let me just make sure I'm setting these boundaries just to ensure that no one does anything that they have to go in the corner and repent for. So I'm behind her on this one.
Okay. Thank you so much, Shantice. Thank you for relaying the information from our listeners. Have a blessed day.
You too.
Thank you. Thank you, listeners, for joining in on our conversation. Point well taken. Good advice. Good advice. We've come to the point of the time where we need to hold hands and hold hearts and go before the Lord. Okay, let us pray. Heavenly Father God, we thank you. We thank you because you have been so generous to us, as you always are. We thank you, dear God, for just loving us in only a way that you can. Thank you, God, for just choosing us. Thank you, God, for choosing us and, you know, wanting us to become better citizens in your kingdom and helping to alert us, God, of the things that we need to consider, the things we need to think of, things we need to think on, dear God. Lord, we're lifting up this world to you, dear Heavenly Father, as only we can, because we understand your plan, we understand your will and your way, and the things that you want this world to have, God. And we thank you. We thank you for just allowing us the ability to see the things that others don't see, to understand the things that others don't understand, God. And, you know, even in the context in which we're talking of potential temptation, God, that, you know, yes, we are, you know, in this world, but we're not of this world. And because we're not of this world, we get to see things that other people don't see. And we get to see the cautionary ways that you are allowing us to maneuver. And we thank you, God, that, you know, we're not unmindful that we are human, that we're not unmindful that things will happen that we don't plan on happening. And as others would criticize because, you know, we don't have faith, we move in a faithful manner, God. Just being able to say, God has alerted me and opened up my eyes just to the simple possibility that something may happen. That no, we do not add to anyone's level of temptation. So we're grateful to you for just allowing us to see this and to be aware of this, God. And we pray for all of those who think otherwise, who have not taken, you know, your advice, who have not taken your words of caution and wisdom. Thank you. And we ask you, God, to just allow their eyes to be open so that the enemy does not give them something else to look at and they take their eyes off of reality, God. That for those of us who may have experienced something, God, you've allowed us to go through that so that we can warn everybody else going forward, God. And we, you know, we pray, God, that as the guidance, as the counsel goes out as to what we should do or what we shouldn't do, that the discernment is there from you and that we're not unmindful of the things that you give us and we don't mistake it for the enemy. And vice versa, we don't mistake what the enemy gives us, and we think that is you, God. We thank you, God, for this conversation, that even if it's not this particular thing, that it's something else, that we're in a world where we're warring against the enemy, and that he's clever and he's conniving, and that we stay on point, we stay on guard. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for just offering us shelter, clothing, food. And Lord, as other people are now walking as of yesterday,
into a brand new world, a brand new life, where they don't have these options anymore. We pray, God, that if it's an unjust movement, that you would open up the door for them, God. If they were honest and that, you know, living a wholesome life, just trying to make it, God, we pray that you just send them that ram in the bush and that they will see it before any of them get to a point in their lives where they feel like they have to react and take matters into their own hands, that they would learn, you know, of your faithfulness. You know, God, if you allowed somebody to walk into this, or you caused somebody to walk into this because they need to learn how to trust you, because of many of us who are on this side of the fence of trust and faith, we've had to get to our bottom in order to learn how to trust you. So we're praying that if this is your plan for even one individual, that they would learn to trust you, that someone who already has come to know you in this manner would step up and be able to give a word, to pray, and to help these people hold on. Because right now, this world is facing some hard realities. And we're just lifting it up to you, God. We're lifting them up to you, God, so that you can move in a mighty way in each and every one of our lives. That you allow these things because we have not trusted you. And it's about that time. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for, again, only this kind of love. Because as much as we may think, you know, otherwise, we know that you love us and you don't want any of us to perish. So we pray that as many individuals that are out here that know you, that we will stand up now and be seen and heard, so that we can help to lead this world against any discouragement, you know, to any lawlessness, you know, to where they feel like they just got to do what they got to do. And we pray, God, that you put the words in our mouths, that you give us the courage to be able to just step up and be aware and alert as to when you want us to speak. Thank you, Father, for choosing us in advance. We love you, God, for just taking us into your hand and into your heart. We ask, God, that you be with Pastor KL as he is experiencing any difficulties in his body, that you would send your healing power from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, God. And that you would deal with him in a special way, in more than one way of healing, if that needs to go on. We pray for the rest of the Due Time crew who needs any level of healing, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. We ask you, God, to just take control of their lives, because it's us on here each and every day that's supposed to be leading your people. And we pray that it's done with a level of purity and awareness as to what you really want from us, that we would even have to step out of our own way in order to serve you the way you want us to serve you, not the way we think it should be done, not the way we feel comfortable having it done, but that we would remember you first. Every day I pray that we would minister from your words first, not our words, from your will and your way, not our will and our way first. And we're just giving you the glory and the honor so rightly due today. In the precious name of Jesus, we thank you for clearing the way for everybody to be on today, whether you're a minister or whether you're a hearer, and that you would get the glory and the honor out of our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Oh, as always, you know, when discussing our news and our primary topic, there's so much to be said from a spiritual point of view. You know, we have to deal, you know, it was said, you know, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. And, you know, we have to learn to navigate with us being the minority, you know, unfortunately. You know, God has already said that the enemy is the prince of this world. So we know that, you know, we're not going to only have to, you know, defend ourselves or, you know, straighten out people, you know, when you're not a believer. You know, you're going to come with your attacks and your statements and your accusations and your criticisms. But the saddest part to me is when we are warring against one another in this Christian world, that we are already the minority and we can't rely on one another to step up to the plate. We can't rely on one another to be responsible and put their pride down and admit when they're wrong. We can't rely on people to hear, let's say, Karen Clark's advice. And, you know, maybe she had that issue of inviting her, you know, her friends or someone into the home and, you know, all of a sudden, you know, that just became the wrong thing to do. We don't know. We can't say yes or we can't say no. But what we can say is it's not reckless advice. So even if we didn't agree, it's not reckless. And whether it was them paying the bills and they come up with rules and regulations within their marriage, you know, or whether it's just something that they've learned from grandma or something they learned from another, you know, Christian individual, or just from a regular individual, just an everyday individual who just had a word of advice, that we've got our Christian people, our partners in Christ, supposedly, that we can't rely on. And I think that's the saddest thing. You know, we do have our fallen state. We do have, you know, the part where we're not as strong as the next person. But, you know, I had someone send me an article to read. And, you know, it was from a man. And, you know, he was saying, you know, in the article, it was saying that, you know, it's that man, you know, has not stood up to the test. Christians have not stood up to the test and allowed our responsibility to take precedence. Not what we feel, not what we think, not what we would like to have, but our responsibility. Take ownership for what life offers us. Take ownership for what we have done or we haven't done. Take ownership. And the fact of the matter is, she's a newly married woman, and she needs to get as much from God to handle her marriage in its proper manner as much as we have to give her. You know, and sometimes you do have to step back and, you know, you have to let people, you know in a silent way and just pray for them, you know, because you know that they're going to be getting all types of advice and things like that. Well, this came from her mother. And again, you may not have agreed with it, but her mother wasn't giving her reckless advice. What's the worst case scenario if she didn't allow a woman to spend a night in her home? And for the Christian community to now, you know, bash her mom for the information and the guidance that she gave is ridiculous. And a lot of times we just need to be at the point where we just say nothing. If you ain't got nothing good to say, say nothing. We need as much spiritual advice as we can get. And coming from a very spiritual mother, I deem it a blessing. You know, there are several pieces of advice that I got from a great aunt, and she didn't know the Lord. But Aunt Vivian, man, she knew the streets. She knew people. And she was from the old school. And the stuff she used to tell me, I didn't know the Lord at the time, but I knew it was good advice. I knew it was good advice. And she would just be on it. She'd be like, Steph, let me tell you. I could hear her in my head, in my ear right now. And, you know, that Aunt Vivian's been gone since like 95 or so. And still to this minute, there are things when I think about, like, doing something or not doing something, all that advice hits me. I'm like, my baby said. And again, you know, it didn't come from a godly woman per se, but, you know, not everybody who's not a godly woman will give you godly advice. Again, it's just from an angle of I know, and I can have probably Pastor Ed and Pastor Charlene can attest, you know, to the old school, you know, and being able to give you some hard advice, man, and they didn't give it to you in a godly way, because some of the words she used, I'm like, ooh, but man, you got the point, and it's carried me through and filtered into my own children's lives. I tell you one thing, had you told Aunt Vivian you were sending your child away to a boarding school and you didn't have cell phone ability and you didn't have, and they only came home one time a year, oh man, that would be a thought of the past. You would, man, by the time she got finished ragging you and telling you, you would, ain't nowhere in the world you would have been having your child off in that boarding school. So like I said, you know, it doesn't necessarily even have to come from a godly mouth, but it's godly words. It's words of advice. And it may not come through, you know, like I said, in a godly manner, but God will give you that level of discernment, you know, to take the things that they say and, you know, they say eat the fish and spit out the bones. And, you know, I give God thanks of all the advice that I've been given over the years. You know, there's things that my mother used to tell us and that she said. And Ernie sure didn't say them in a godly way. But again, you know, how good and great is our God to ensure that we get everything we need to get and to give us the discernment to say, I need to hold on to that word, or I need to let go of that word. Because I'm going to tell you something. I've heard something from a godly, quote-unquote, godly person, and I'm like, oh, I won't be taking that advice. So, you know, discernment is a lot, but discernment can only come from the Lord. Real discernment can only come from the Lord. And I so thank, you know, all of you who listened and who gave us a word of advice, and our due time crew who gave us a word of advice, who we can now take that to the bank of the Lord, where, you know, they say dust and mites will not destroy it, but it will be held for that special time when you need it. Make sure that's where you put your, you know, that's where your treasure is, in heaven with the Lord and Jesus, making sure that you take every bit of advice they give you. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for coming through big time as always and giving you that word of wisdom. Thanking you, our listeners, for joining in and giving us your words of wisdom today. Please accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Tomorrow and later is definitely not promised to us. Until tomorrow, God spares, where it's Wow Wednesday. I love you.